Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad that you have found your way to this worshiping community. A few ways to learn more about GPC is to check out the ways that we are churched together through fellowship, worship, and mission and learning opportunities. Your bulletin is full of them and also a calendar and list of announcements. And I invite folks this Sunday, following worship, second hour, we will be talking more about the beautiful gate. So please join us in the adult lounge. And a reminder that next Sunday is our Fusion Sunday, a chance for all generations to worship together. So please join us. And a few other announcements we have. Keisha.
Good morning. Senior high youth group this evening, 6 to 8, come and enjoy a super cantastic scavenger hunt. And for those of you in the congregation, if some kids are knocking at your door between 6 and 8, it's okay. Answer. Thanks.
Wonderful. Chuck.
Just a reminder for our graduating seniors this year and their parents, this afternoon at 12:15, there's an informational meeting for those interested in applying for this year's Mustard Seed Scholarship. In the junior high lounge.
Thank you. Any other announcements this morning? Then let us prepare our hearts, our minds, our whole entire selves to worship our holy God. Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the responsive call to worship. Lord, open unto me, light for my darkness. Open unto me, courage for my fear. Open unto me, hope for my despair. Open unto me, peace for my turmoil. Open unto me, joy for my sorrow. Open unto me, strength for my weakness. Open unto me, wisdom for my confession. Open unto me, forgiveness for my sins. Open unto me, love for my hates. Open unto me, thyself for myself. Lord, Lord, open unto me.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Every day, we walk right up to it, that beautiful gate marking the entrance between the land of doing what we can and doing what we thought we couldn't. When you open the gate unto us, we admit that we are hesitant to give away the love you have received in Jesus. Help us cross the threshold and remain open to the possibilities you offer to us. Take a moment for your silent prayers of confession. Amen.
Will the children come forward? Good morning. Oh, I know. You can do it louder than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Got a thumbs up back there. That's awesome. Well, today is the first day of the next 4 weeks of One Great Hour of Sharing. And do you remember last year when you got your fish banks for One Great Hour of Sharing? Well, I was thinking to myself, I mean, we have some awesome adults in this congregation, and I got wondering, why do we give the fish banks to children and not adults? Because, you know, when you get your fish bank, do the adults get them? No. That's because you all are the most wonderful ambassadors of love in this church. You have awesome powers. How many of you wore your capes today? We had a little note. You have another opportunity to wear your cape filled with superpowers. Not next week, but the week after. If you could remember on that day, that would be great, because we're going to do something special with our capes. Sometimes ambassadors wear capes. Sometimes they wear a nice outfit. Sometimes they just wear the clothes they might garden in or play outside. But you are awesome ambassadors of love. This is a picture of a gentleman with some nice clean water for his garden. And the pennies that you collect in your fish banks go to the different countries where people need our help. So you are an ambassador of love to someone like this man here who needs clean water. Your pennies, no matter how many you collect, go to people like him. So, because it's your special day to be ambassadors, I made something special for you to have, because each week we are going to add something special to a sash that makes you an OGHS, One Great Hour of Sharing, ambassador. So, you may have either a yellow sash or a blue sash before you go to your class.
But I'm going to ask, there's a safety pin so an adult can pin it on you. And if you could remember to wear them for the next 4 weeks, or you can tie them to a belt, you could put them on your back, you could put them in your hair, I don't care what you do with them, but if you can remember to bring them for the next 4 weeks, that would be great. So we'll do that before you go to class. And I want to tell you something else. Do you know why I think you're special ambassadors? Something that even though you don't know me personally and I don't know you personally yet, when I sit in that pew over there next to Dave Fish and Beth Molina, I am completely impressed that when Melissa reads your prayers from your Sunday school classes, that I have never, ever, ever heard you ask for something for yourselves. When we sit here as adults and listen to your prayers, I have noticed that you're always praying for other people. Do you know what? That is amazing. That is wonderful. That makes you a wonderful ambassador of love because you're always thinking about other people and not yourself. So with that being said, we're going to pass out sashes and fish banks in a minute here, but I just want to read you something from the Bible, okay, real quick. Let them thank the Lord for his steadfast love, for his wonderful works to humankind. And that comes from the book of Psalms. So can we bow our heads and have a prayer for a quick minute? And you can repeat after me, Lord, thank you for your steadfast love. Thank you for choosing me as your ambassador. Amen. Okay, let's give you a fish bank. And why don't you, if you could go in a line maybe, and then you'll be able to go to your classes.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy, chapter 15, verses 7 through 11. If there is among you anyone in need, a member of your community, in any of your towns, within the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your needy neighbor. You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Be careful that you do not entertain a mean thought, thinking, the seventh year, the year of remission, is near. and therefore view your needy neighbor with hostility and give nothing. Your neighbor might cry to the Lord against you, and you would incur guilt. Give liberally and be ungrudgingly when you do so, for on this account the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in all that you undertake. Since there will never cease to be some in need on the earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land.
At the session meeting this week, a wonderful elder reminded me Melissa, you are not super pastor. I may sometimes pretend, but I'm not. From the third chapter of the book of Acts. One day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And a man, lame from birth, was being carried in. People would lay him daily at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate, so that he could ask for alms from those entering the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked them for alms. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. Jumping up, he stood and began to walk. He entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as the one who used to sit and ask for alms at the Beautiful Gate. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Last Sunday, I began by getting our imaginations going so we could have a visual reference of the ancient gates in biblical times. And as you remember, the gates that led into a city comprised of more than just one set of gates and included various chambers where business and commerce of a city took place. This morning, we have already passed through the gates of the city of Jerusalem, and we find ourselves at another set of gates, those that lead into the temple. There were 13 sets of gates in all that a person passed through before reaching the innermost chamber of the temple. And that innermost chamber was a place that only the high priest was permitted, and only once a year on the Day of Atonement. Most of the gates that people passed through were given names according to their function. For example, there was the Shar Hadalech, or the Kindling Gate. It's where firewood was brought through. Shar HaChabechoret, or the gate of the firstborn, where people with a firstborn animal offering entered. And now on the east side of the temple was Shar Nicanor, and it is thought that this gate was referred to as the Beautiful Gate because the gate was huge and imposing. The doors were made of Corinthian bronze, and on the doors was a carving of a vine, representing that Israel was God's vine. It was a masterpiece of ancient craftsmanship. Though I doubt the man who was carried and laid in the shadows of this beautiful gate would have spent much time admiring such craftsmanship. It was a glorious gate, but unyielding. The message of the gate to this man was clearly go no further. As a man born with a disability, the religious rule in those days were very strict, and he would not be permitted to pass through any more gates of the temple. And each gate of the temple, there would be people who would have to stop and go no further. Gentiles could only go so far to the temple. Women could only go so far before the gate stopped them from permitting and going farther. So here lay this man as others passed by, tossing their gold and their silver at him, and to others like him in need, as Torah commanded. We heard from Deuteronomy this morning, open your hand to the poor and need of the neighbor in your land. And the man counted on those who passed by to follow this law and help him meet his needs. And this is where Peter and John opened themselves to the man lying here, but not in the way the man expects. Peter and John don't open their pocketbook. Not because these disciples of Jesus were any less Jewish, because they were fresh from the Pentecost experience of receiving the Holy Spirit and proclaiming the crucified and resurrected Jesus as Lord and Messiah. They thought themselves to be Jews who had the gracious privilege of following their rabbi and friend, whom they believed to be the Messiah. And when it was time to pray, they went to the temple. They didn't have silver or gold to offer those in need at the gate, because in this new community of believers that we learned just a few verses back in Acts, they committed themselves to all things in common. So the community held all of the money, all of the valuables, all of the land together. So while many who passed through this beautiful gate opened their pocketbooks and tossed the coins at the man while stepping over him with probably not so much as an afterthought to pray for this man, Peter and John stop. And they look at this man. And they open their hearts. Peter and John have the experience of personally knowing Jesus the Christ. They have the experience of, for years, watching Jesus have compassion on people like this man. They also know that this same Jesus had the power to make a difference, not just in spiritual matters, but in concrete situations of everyday life. Peter and John could not pray to their God in Christ and just ignore this man. Before they pray, they felt the calling to live their faith. The one who they now know as the Messiah would expect nothing less. So Peter and John, they stop. They look at this man. And they tell this man to look at them. And Peter opens his hand and raises this man up, saying, "What I give you in the name of Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk." And the man who spent his life being carried by others and propped up by this beautiful gate enters through walking and leaping and praising God Needless to say, he attracts quite a crowd of onlookers. Most of the people were sure that they had seen this man's face before, but couldn't quite place him. Probably because they had never really looked at this man to begin with. But when they make that connection, the buzz is all about the miracle that has taken place. And in the following verses, Peter is quick to draw the attention of the crowds away from the miraculous healing and to the love of God shown to each one of us through Jesus Christ. The remainder of the chapter in Acts goes on with a very lengthy and excitable sermon by Peter, who now has this captive crowd, and he preaches about religious hypocrisy, repentance, and living their faith. But I want us to go back for just a moment to when Peter and John walk up to the beautiful gate and look at the man lying there and open their hearts to him. This is the moment when I believe that Peter and John cross the threshold of the beautiful gate that marks the entrance between religious duty and opening our hearts to show God's love in the world. As followers of Jesus, Peter and John experienced for themselves the love of Jesus, and they were entrusted with the mission to be the church and to give that love away. Jesus tells Peter in the Gospel of Matthew, "You are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church." And we celebrate that the church is born on Pentecost when the community shares in the spiritual gifts poured out by the Holy Spirit. And while that moment shows the inward reach of God's mission to the world, it is here, at the beautiful gate, that the outward mission of God to the world is revealed. The Reverend Grady Parsons, the stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church USA, who is the author of the Lenten devotional we have been using to guide our theme in worship, "Open to Me the Gates," tells of his experience entering the beautiful gate in Joplin, Missouri, after the devastating tornadoes last May ripped through the town, destroying almost 7,000 homes and killing 155 people. Visiting there with Presbyterian disaster assistance, he heard many miraculous stories. But one was about Claude and Elizabeth. He tells this story. Claude and Elizabeth had lived in Joplin most of their lives. He had been a bookkeeper at a box factory, and she an employee at the county agricultural extension office. They retired over 20 years ago and lived in a simple house that they paid for years ago. Claude was in his early 80s and legally blind. Elizabeth is bedridden from a stroke and has no cognitive abilities. They have no family and rely on neighbors to help them with trips to the store and doctor's offices. On the afternoon of the tornado, they were alone as usual. They heard the sirens. But Claude knew he could not get Elizabeth into the safety of the bathroom by himself. So he got into her bed, lay on top of her, and covered her face with his hands. Their house was destroyed around them, but they survived. A few weeks later, a FEMA worker discovered them living in a dirty store building some 40 miles away that had been abandoned for decades. And when the FEMA worker first looked inside, he could only see Claude in the light of a single bulb. And then he heard a sound and saw Elizabeth in the corner in an exceptionally clean spot. Claude had kept her and her bed spotless. Because of his blindness, he had checked her IV by hand. And every night, he slept on the floor by her bed in case she needed him. The FEMA worker could have asked his routine questions, checking off boxes on a form, and just gone on his way. Instead, he stepped through the beautiful gate. Like Peter, he intently looked at Claude and began the slow, deliberate conversation of learning about this couple and helping Claude decide that Elizabeth needed to be back in Joplin in clean, accessible, temporary housing where they could receive help from their friends. We can open our pocketbooks and offer money to many organizations and people in need. We can open our busy schedules to volunteer our time at St. Joseph House or Cameron Street or our neighborhood elementary school or senior center. But unless we open our hearts and offer the love of Christ in such a way that acknowledges those whom we encounter as children of God, we miss the opportunity of crossing the threshold of the beautiful gate. It is here, at the beautiful gate, the compassion of God to the world is revealed. May it be so.
Thank you. I invite you to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern, as we hold them in our hearts together in community.
Dorothy Munt, I have a joy. My oldest granddaughter delivered a girl, Mackenzie Marie, on the 14th, which gives me 6 great-grandchildren.
Congratulations.
Irene Ward, I would just like prayers for my mother-in-law, Pat Tripoli, who's going through a difficult time right now. Thank you.
Peter Derry, prayers for my cousin. His wife lost a 2-year battle with cancer last week, and so would you keep his family and himself in prayers? And prayers for some friends of ours in Dexter, Michigan, where the tornado hit. Again, miraculously, nobody injured. But Jeff and Janet are the couple, and they have a daughter, Samantha. As Jeff was coming back home with Samantha, he sees the tornado come and lift his house off its foundation, drop it down again. So fortunately, all their belongings were safe. His wife was safe in the basement, but miraculously, he dropped his daughter off, ran over, found her there. So thank God for that. And finally, just a thanks for the energy and all the work that went into last night's performance. Mm. It was staggering, the time that the folks that put it on put into it. And thank you all so much for that.
Any others? All right. We have the prayers from our children this morning. Prayers for a birthday, Chris's brother. Happy birthday. Prayers for Jacob to do well in his all-star game. Prayer for Aunt Laura, who becomes a member of her church today. Prayers for the Hinchy homestead. And lots of prayers of thanksgiving for this great weather. We have prayers from Callan for a safe trip home for Grandma and Grandpa, and to keep his dad safe while he's working. Prayers for a friend named Sarah. Prayers for a Nana. Hope she feels better. Prayers of joy that Grandpa and Granny are coming today. Prayers for a gerbil that died. But I still have 2, so that's a joy. prayers for Nana and her surgery. Prayers, this one's my favorite. Prayers to God, I wish I could fly. Amen. Amen. Let us continue to raise our hearts in prayer. Holy God, as we journey through this season of Lent and approach the stunning entrance of the beautiful gate, we stop. We hear the prayers of this community for those who are struggling, sick, and grieving. And we want to turn away and close our eyes because sometimes it feels like it's just too much. God, when we open our hands to the pain of the world, where there is senseless violence, war, suffering, and death, it is difficult to take that next step and open our heart in compassion. Lord, we ask that you give us the strength to open our eyes, our hearts, and our hands to the possibilities of your transforming love in this world. With your scarred hands, you reach out, grab hold of us all, and raise us up. We enter through this beautiful gate together to praise you. God in community, holy in one, be with us in this Lenten season, even as we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Let us celebrate the abundance of generosity from our God as we offer back a portion of our thanksgiving.
Lord Jesus Christ, you were rich, yet for our sake you became poor, so that through your poverty we might become rich. Accept this collection and offering as a token of our gratitude for all you have done. Amen.
Amen. Amen. At this time, oh, you may be seated first. We'll start there. Oh, it confused people too much. But at this time, I would like to invite Laura and Joe, Rob and Randy, Pat, Casey, Wayne, and Anne forward around the communion table. We have a wonderful opportunity in the life of our community to celebrate when folks follow God's call to our community to learn and grow in their faith. So come on, it's all right. You can come up here while I'm still talking. That's scary. All right. We'll have you stand around the communion table. And if their sponsors would come forward at this time, too. Their sponsors would stand with them. We're going to, how about we have you guys turn around? It's always such an interesting thing to do this in this worship space. Let's see, what end should we start in? We'll go down here today. I'm going to introduce these new members who have had the opportunity to meet with Session and enjoy fellowship and time together at breakfast, and also to attend a new members class and learn more about participating in the life of GPC. And we have their sponsors here with them to very briefly just introduce their name, tell you who they are.
I am Andrea Unson, and I'm introducing my aunt, Laura Nolan.
I'm Gary Dykes. I'm introducing my new friend, Joseph Castrino.
Gordon Chapman. I'm introducing Mr. Rob Mosier and his father, Randy Mosier.
I'm Christy Stewart. I'm introducing Casey Perkins.
Dick Stewart. I'm introducing Ann and Wayne Smith. They're not new friends. We've been friends for 40 years.
I'm Pat Carnahan. I'm a loner.
No.
I'm Tammy Tackling. I'm her sponsor.
We don't leave anyone alone, Pat. That's the beauty of community. No one is alone. We do this together. You stay there. I can move much easier. So I'm going to invade your space. Is that all right? Okay. It's a whole different perspective back here. Laura, Joe, Rob, Randy, Pat, Casey, Wayne, and Anne. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? If so, please say yes. Do you trust him? Please say yes. Do you intend to be his disciple, to obey his word, and to show his love? If so, please say yes. And will you be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and will you seek the fellowship of the church wherever you may be? If so, please say yes. Be filled with gratitude, and let the message of Christ dwell among you in all its richness. Whatever you are doing, whether you speak or act, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God, the Creator, through him. Let us pray. God, we praise you for calling each of us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for sending us Laura and Joe, Rob and Randy, Pat and Casey, Wayne and Anne. Together, may we live the mind of Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory forever. Amen. We welcome you to this particular community and ministry of Jesus Christ. And as we do so, let us welcome them with the sign of peace. We're going to stand. I know it's not something we do often, but we're good at it. We're going to share the peace of Christ, welcome the new members and those around us. Let us share signs of Christ's peace. Welcome. 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 You're welcome. Peace of Christ be with you. Peace of Christ. Peace of Christ.
You did a great job.
Peace.
Christ. I'm so glad that you're here. Peace. Good morning. Peace of Christ be with you. Yep, that works. That's okay. I'm good with that. Go ahead and start playing. Just like a longer, yeah, but you know.
Threshold through to praise the Lord and to show the love of Jesus Christ in all that we say and do. So go through the gate with the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the courage of the Holy Spirit as we go on our way. Amen.